As we gather on this day that God has made, what a wonderful day to gather and to worship together. Just to bring your attention to some announcements that's before us. On next Sunday is Children's Sunday, and I always look forward to that when the young people gather together and worship and participate in worship. During Sunday school, I was looking at some pictures of some past Children's Day Sunday and looking at some of our young people who are now older now and much larger. And I'm so glad that we still have that within our church and honor the young people. So please be mindful of that. And then also this coming Saturday, will be our last consistory meeting until the fall. We do not meet less necessary in July and August, and we'll meet on the 13th of June. This week also will be Jenny's lunch, and you see the menu there, and Vacation Bible School, and all the events that's happening. Our church picnic, and that is slated for June 28th after worship. Please bring a dish to share, and consistory will provide the hot dogs and hamburgers. Bring your own beverage to drink, so the church will not provide beverages. That's what we mean about that. Okay, are there additional announcements we wish to make? And seeing none, and here, okay, no hand. Oh, yes.
Just a reminder, there's a Vacation Bible School meeting today after church. We won't be that long, so.
All right, thank you for the reminder. Vacation Bible School meeting after church today. Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let us prepare for worship during this time of prelude. Paper, and I realize in my bulletin, I'm just messed up today. I don't have the inside paper, so I'm going to have an extra bulletin where I can have an inside of the bulletin. Please, thank you for that. And while we do, okay, that's just good. Thank you very much. Thank you. And while we're doing that, let us join in singing in our introit, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Our sentences today will come to us from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, And I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing.
I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you, I will curse. And by you, all the families of the earth shall bless themselves. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran.
And Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions which they had gathered, and the persons that they had gotten in Haran. And they set forth to go to the land of Canaan. And when they had come into the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. And at that time, the Canaanites were in the land.
Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, to your descendants I will give this land. So he built there an altar to the Lord,
who had appeared to him. Thence he removed to the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent with Bethel on the west, and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord, and called on the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, and still going north. Thank you. Let's continue our worship, please, with our first hymn of praise, hymn number 56. Thank you. Please be seated. Seek the Lord while he may be called found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he might have mercy upon them, and to our God, that he might abundantly pardon. Let us pray together. Holy God, we confess a bit pridefully that we appreciate decency and order, forgetting that we seek the order that is of our own making. We confess that clear rules and social norms gives us comfort, forgetting how many of your beloved children are hurt and excluded by them. We confess that we have placed our trust in ability, strength, and works we produce, forgetting our total reliance on your grace. Hear us as we spend a few moments in silent prayer and reflection. Hear us as we pray. Forgive us, God, and free us to live in courageous faith that we might abide in your righteousness. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgets not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. Beloved people of God, believe this good news and live in the loving kindness of our God.
Lord, have mercy on us. Come and heal our land. Cleanse with your fire, heal with your touch. Humbly we bow and call upon you now, O Lord, have mercy on us. O Lord, have mercy on us.
And just before you're seated, let us affirm what we believe by saying, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and of life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Please hear these words our Lord Jesus Christ has said. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and your mind. This is the great and first commandment. The second one is like it to it, and I like that second one too. I like the first one. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. Your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? Somebody asked Jesus that question, and he gave the parable of the Good Samaritan, did kindness to strangers. Who's your neighbor? We haven't done this in a little while. You know what's coming. Look to your left. Look to your right. Front of you, behind you. These are just part of your neighbors. When you walk out these doors and get behind a car and somebody cuts you off like they normally do, that's your neighbor too. Okie dokie. move on, McCurd, move on. Right now, our words of assurance, Psalm 33, 1 through 12. Mrs. Baker, I dig it all. Thank you.
Psalm 33, 1 to 12. Rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous. Praise befits the upright. Praise the Lord with the lyre. Make melody to him with the harp of 10 strings. Sing to him a new song. Play skillfully on the strings with loud shouts. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the steadfast love of the Lord. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all their hosts by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea as in a bottle. He put the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it came to be. He commanded, and it stood forth. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to naught. He frustrates the plans of the peoples. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people whom he has chosen as his heritage.
This is the word of the Lord. Ministry of Music in the Valley. Bless the Lord.
Thank you.
John chapter 15 and verse 5. Last part of that verse says, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can't do nothing. What does that mean? That's a really broad statement. This is what I think of. You know those tiny little lights that are solar panel lights? And if you've ever seen them, and you can put them on your house, or you can put them on the lawn, stick them on the ground, and have a solar panel on it. And they get their power from the sun. And it's so good to see the sun out today. We were traveling yesterday. It's been when it's some rain. I guess it rained here. I guess it's going to rain a little bit later on. But it's nice to see the sun out right now. But the sun is needed for the light to work. And if there's no sun, it wouldn't shine. The light won't work. And without God, we can't do nothing. If there's anything good that we do in this life, it is because God enables us. And so we are able to say, thank you, God, for giving me the ability to be nice to my friends. Summer will come and all that kind of thing. But even as we look forward to the days that might happen, as school ends and different things occur, if somebody's calling me again, it's connected to my hearing aid. There's coming in here. Glory, hallelujah. Without God, we can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. Thank God for that. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we thank you that when you say words like, without you, we can do nothing, we realize that in you and through you and because of you, we're able to serve and to be lights in this world. Just like those solar lights needs the light of the sun, we too need the light of the Son of God to enable us to live as Christians in this world. So we pray not only just for our young people, and we're so glad they're here today, what a blessing they are to us, but we pray for all of us that we might reflect the light of your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals, please, and turn to our next hymn of praise, 504. And Children's Church, and those who will participate in that. Let us join together as we sing. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Our scripture lesson this morning will come to us from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. And I had in the plans to read also verses 18 through 26, but they did not make the bulletin. And if you have your Bibles open, keep your Bibles open to that. If you have the printed lesson, listen along with us, please, as we read, and we'll look at those additional verses in just a little bit. Matthew chapter number 9. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me," and he rose and followed him. And he sat at table in the house. Behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. We just read it. And Father, thank you that within the pages of the scripture, you speak to us. And so our prayer is that you'll use me as your vessel at this hour to share your word, that you indeed will again speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The great physician, the great physician. Many of us see physicians and we see doctors or nurse practitioners, whomever. And we're familiar with the medical field. And yet Jesus, in speaking words of those who criticize his gathering together with IRS employees, tax collectors, and sinners, he said, "Those who are sick need a doctor, and I am a great physician." And so we find within the scriptures an example of Jesus being one who heals those who are in need of healing. And one of my favorite, and perhaps yours too, stories in the Bible falls a little bit later in this passage, beginning with verse 18 and following all the way down to verse 26. And it talks about two females. In this, Matthew is not known how old the young girl is, but in the other Gospels we know she's 12 years old. Just like this woman who suffered from her physical condition for 12 years. Listen to these words. Follow along in Matthew chapter 9, beginning with verse 18. While he was thus speaking to them, behold, a ruler came and knelt before him, saying, "My daughter just died, but come, lay your hand upon her, and she will live." And Jesus rose and followed him with his disciples. And behold, a woman who had suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment. For she said to herself, "If I only touch his garment, I shall be made well." Jesus turned and seeing her, said, "Take heart, daughter, your faith has made you well." And instantly the woman was made well. And when Jesus came to the ruler's house and saw the flute players in the crowd making a tumult, he said, "Depart, for the girl is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But when he put the crowd outside, he went in and took her by the hand, and the girl arose And report of this was throughout all of the district. Well, I love that story. I love it because it tells a story of how Jesus tenderly ministered to a need of a public need and a private need. A public need and a private need. Two other Gospels in the New Testament tells this story. Mark tells this story, as does Luke. For some reason, John doesn't use this story. But Mark uses verses, Mark chapter 5, verses 26 through 43. That's a long passage. And Mark usually is a very short story person. I mean, if you want something real quick, one of those sermons that last about 10, 15 minutes, you know, Mark is that way. But he spends a lot of time on this particular story. And I wonder why. And I think this is why. There was a ruler, and we don't know who the ruler was, whose daughter had just died, and he saw that Jesus was somewhere near him, and Jesus was known to raise the dead. Now, she just died. So there's great possibility that Jesus could just go over to the house and do his, you know, magic, and boom. And so he asked, "Jesus, would you come over and lay your hand upon my daughter, for she just died, and raise her up?" So Jesus, being who he is, said, "All right, I'll go." And as he's going, and by the way, wherever Jesus went, a crowd went with him. This is way before YouTube. He wasn't streaming. He didn't have followers that way, but people just crowded him wherever he went because they wanted to see him either multiply fishes, raise the dead. They wanted to see all that. And they heard him respond to this ruler, "I'm going to touch your daughter," 12 years old. But on his way, there's a woman who was suffering from something so private that she dared not tell anyone about it. She suffered with it for 12 years. As a matter of fact, in Leviticus chapter 15, Scripture told her that she shouldn't even have been out in the crowd. She should have been home, away from others. But she suffered so terribly. And she said to herself, "If I can just touch the hem of Jesus' garment, I'll be made whole." And I like that word "touch." That word "touch" in the Greek is the word hapo. Hapo, H-A-P-T-O, hapo. And the reason I remember that is it almost sounded like happened to. She happened to grab on. And when she touched the hem of his garment, it is not just she kind of lightly touched. She grabbed it. She held the hem of his garment. One of the other Gospels, Matthew doesn't say this, but it's either Luke or Mark, says that when she did that, Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples were thinking, "Jesus, look at the crowd. Everybody's touching you. What are you talking about?" But something happened in that grip. Back in Numbers chapter 15, and beginning with verse 38, I believe it is, I can remember from this week. And yes, verse 38. Well, starting at verse 37, "And the Lord said to Moses, speak to the people of Israel and bid them to take tassels on the corners of their garments throughout their generations and put a tassel of each on each corner of the cord of blue. And it shall be to you a tassel to look upon to remember the commandment of the Lord and to do them, not to follow after your own heart and your own eyes, which you are inclined to go after wantonly. So you shall remember to do all my commandments and be holy to your God. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. Those tassels, that garment, was to remind the people that they belong to God. They belong to God. And I wonder if this woman, when she grabbed a garment, grabbed a part of that garment that said, the law says that I'm sick, I shouldn't be here, but I still belong to God, and I want to be healed. And you remember what Jesus said to her? I love the words he used. He said, daughter, you're healed. Daughter. Not woman, what are you doing? Not stop touching me, but daughter. He restored her. Her faith has made her whole. She believed that just the touch of the Master's garment will heal her. And it certainly happened. That was private. Now, we know what her problem was, or her physical condition was, not problem, her physical condition was, because the text tells us no one else in the crowd knew. She didn't wear any banners saying, I'm having this particular issue at all. But Jesus knew it was private. It was embarrassing. But Jesus did not embarrass her. He did not expose her for the crowd to ridicule, but he tenderly loved her. And then, as we close, we go to what happened in the house when Jesus went to the house and the girl is dead, and the Bible says there's a great tumult. Now, for us to understand what's going on, back in those days, whenever someone died, people would gather together and mourn. But not so much that we will mourn today. Sometimes when we hear of a death, we bake something, we cook something, we take it over, you know, try to be a help and encouragement. Sometimes we may even go to the house and sit and be with someone. But back in those days, there were professional mourners. And so what they would do whenever they hear of a death, they would just go over there and they'll cry. They wouldn't even know who the person it was. They would just mourn and cry and make all sorts of noise and all the rest. And when they heard this 12-year-old girl was dead, and a bunch of people, Jesus said to them, don't worry, she's just sleeping. And the Bible says they laughed him to scorn. See, that was a very public announcement. Jesus could have said, I'll be right back. But Jesus said, oh, she's sleeping. I'll go and just wake her up. And they laughed him to scorn, and the Bible says Jesus told them to go on out. But if you look at the gospel readings, and I'll encourage you to, Mark chapter 5, and I think it's Luke chapter 9 that tells the story as well. When you combine those, the Bible says that Jesus went to her, he said, in the Aramaic, little girl, I say to you, arise. Little girl, I say to you, arise. Aramaic is a comfort language. That's the language we use when we are at home. When I'm speaking to you like I am right now, I try to speak well. I try to use good grammar. I try to speak intelligently. Every now and then I'll throw a Hebrew word out there, a Greek word out there, and make you think I know something. But when I'm home, I'm down with my bad self. And I'll use language, it's just comfort language at home. Comfort language. Jesus used comfort language to this little girl who was dead. You know what the first thing Jesus said when he raised her from the dead? Give her something to eat. Now that might seem way out there, but Jesus not only healed her physically, but he also met her need. She probably was hungry. And Jesus knew that. Oh, he touched me. We sang the song a little bit ago, didn't we? Something happened. And now I know he touched me and he made me whole. The great physician knows his own more than anyone else. And beloved, as we leave this place, and I will say to you, hey, how you doing? And you say, oh, I'm doing fine. But you don't tell the whole thing. This aches and that aches and this is gone and this is out of whack. But the great physician knows. He knows. Beloved, let us trust him. Let us talk to him. Let us ask him. And like we tried to say to the young people a moment ago, let us look to him for everything that we need and trust him. He is the Son that gives us the ability to be as we are today. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Holy Father, that within the pages of Scripture, we are reminded without you, yes, we can do nothing. But then we are also reminded that you are the great physician who meets and heals our every need. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. On this next Sunday, we propose to celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. And beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, with the help of God, we ask that our conscience, instructed by God's law, declares that we are unworthy of this gift. For we find that we have neither loved the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, nor have we loved our neighbors as ourselves. To examine ourselves is to find that we neither love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and mind, nor have we loved our neighbors as ourselves. And to examine our lives is to confirm that we deserve exclusion from this royal banquet and indeed from God's presence forevermore. Yet in this feast of love, it was in love that Christ gave himself for us. And when we were unworthy, Christ made us worthy. When we should have justly died as punishment for our sins, Christ freely paid our penalty, dying in our place, and has become our complete righteousness. Therefore, our self-examination must not end in despair, for we are called to trust God's work on our behalf and to receive the gift of forgiveness offered us in Christ Jesus. Our reconciliation to God is found in trusting this good news, that before we chose God, God chose us. And we are what God made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, prepared beforehand to be our way of life. Partaking at this table is not an act of virtue. This table is prepared for those who humbly trust Christ alone and find in his death, resurrection, and ascension our only peace, though we often fail in our efforts. Those of us who approach this table with desire to please God, conforming our lives to God's purposes, resting fully assured that when God finds such contrite trust and godly intention, God will forgive our sins and make us worthy partakers of his heavenly kingdom. As we examine ourselves, let us confess our sins. Let us pray. Almighty God, we have sinned against you and one another in thought, word, and deed, in what we have done and in what we have left undone. Therefore, we pray in silence before you. Hear us as we pray. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Our gracious God forgives us of our sins and strengthens us by his Holy Spirit and will keep us to life eternal through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Right now, we invite our ushers as we receive our tithes and offerings. We thank you and praise you for the opportunity to receive these gifts. We ask our blessing upon them in Christ's most holy name. Amen. Let us pass the peace. Great joy to pass the peace. And it almost sounds like it's interesting to say, okay, that's enough peace. As we gather back to our spaces. What a nice one. Say that again. No, please.
I'll sing it, Peace Like a River.
Oh, Peace Like a River. Okay, yeah, it's so nice to see the peace going on and sharing together. What a wonderful way to worship, isn't it? And to share with one another. Another way we worship is to talk to the great physician and to offer to God our prayers. And in the final moments of worship this morning, as we come to the Lord in prayer, are there any prayer requests you wish us to know as a community of faith? Okay. Hearing none is sin. Now let us pray together, shall we? Our God and our Creator and Maker, with grateful hearts we come before you on this day, the Lord's Day. We call it that because we dedicate it to you in our worship. We have begun our day in worship to you, and we adore you throughout this day, and we seek to do so in our lives. And we thank you that you have invited us to come before you to offer our prayers. And Father, we have in our world today great needs of prayer. And Father, whoever to list them all will be here for long hours. But Father, some of them will be the condition that many of us are living in, uncertainties and times of distress, perhaps, or some anxiety and worries about where we might be able to make ends meet. We hear about our church and all the rest and so many concerns. Father, we lift them all to you. As these summer months come, some of us will have opportunity to kind of get away from it all and perhaps make trips and see friends and enjoy picnics and things that bring us joy, and we look forward to those days. And perhaps some of us have plans this day to do that. And so we thank you for that. We praise you. Father, we pray also for our nation and our world and places that are in turmoil and war and disease and sickness. It breaks our heart when we learn of these conditions that surround us, and perhaps even at our own gates. We pray for these. We pray for our leaders. May they look to you for wisdom as they govern, whether local, federal, town, city. We pray for our leaders. Protect them, guide them. May they look to you. Father, we pray for one another. Help us to live the words you said to your disciples. By this shall all men know that you are mine, that you have love one for the other. And help us to show that type of love. Father, we pray for our religious leaders as they would seek to share your gospel and your care throughout the world. Help us as Christians to live out our faith and our witness in this world that so desperately need to know you. And then hear us as we offer to you our own private and personal prayers and reflection during this moment of silence, we pray. And we remember the words you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thine will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our as we forgive. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Oh, I love to hear the different words. Trespasses, debts, sins. I love to hear those words. Keep them coming out, please, as we. Our last hymn of praise. I need thee every hour. Mrs. Hemstreet, thank you for, I think you brought these, did you not?
Yes, I did.
Beautiful, beautiful arrangement. Thank you very much. Love the colors.
Sure.
That's my eyes. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and grant you peace. Amen.